go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by Kyle Scheidler, my colleague at the Center for Security Policy. He directs our center's Threat Information Office, a position that pulls together research and threat vector intelligence that is all, of course, in the unclassified domain, but nonetheless extremely valuable and used, I'm pleased to say, by quite a number of folks, both within our own organization and in the counter-jihad movement. He formerly was the Director of Research and Communications at another terrific organization, the Endowment for Middle East Truth, and has been specializing in this realm of jihadism and the threat that it poses to all of us here and abroad for quite some time. He's a contributing author to Saudi Arabia and the Global Islamic Terrorist Network, America and the West's Fatal Embrace. You can find his writings in a number of places, including, of course, our own Free Fire blog, as well as in other outlets and television appearances and so on. And it's always good to have him with us here at Secure Freedom Radio. Thanks so much for joining us, Kyle.
Oh, my pleasure, Frank. Thank you.
One of the things that we've been impressed by, Kyle, is the work of Congressman Mike Pompeo. He's a gutsy member of Congress from Kansas, and recently he raised an alarm in his own community about an individual who was coming in to do a fundraising event at the Islamic Society of Wichita. What's the backstory there?
So Representative Pompeo became concerned because the Islamic Society of Wichita was bringing in a man named Manzer Taleb to help them with a fundraiser. And this is interesting because Manzer Taleb is an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial. He was part of a band.
Remind us what that was, the Holy Land Foundation.
Yeah, so the
trial.
Holy Land Foundation was a charity operating out of Texas that was the largest financer for Hamas. And they were in the largest terror finance trial in American history. They were convicted on all 108 charges. And so Manzer Taleb's job as part of this conspiracy was to participate in this band that traveled around to various mosques and Islamic fundraisers and sing and entertain and encourage people to donate in order to support the Holy Land Foundation and other Hamas-linked entities, including the Islamic Association for Palestine. Now, we know that he was supporting Hamas and these fundraisers because, amongst other things, the FBI introduced a video where he sings, "I am from Hamas," during his solo. So we have the soloist for "I am from Hamas" appearing at the Islamic Society of Wichita, and Representative Mike Pompeo very rightly called them out on that.
One of the other conspirators, in fact, who was convicted for his role in the conspiracy, of course, was a fellow by the name of Abdul Qadir, who was also in this band. Why is it that this chap was not actually prosecuted as well, given that the other was found guilty of raising funds for Hamas by doing pretty much the same thing?
That's a good question, Frank, and we don't know. This is one of these questions that we're still puzzling over, is why there weren't additional follow-up prosecutions after the Holy Land Foundation case was successfully prosecuted. We've heard from reports by investigative reporter Patrick Poole, among others, that this was a political decision made by the Obama administration's Department of Justice, but the reality is we simply don't know. It could be the case that the FBI felt, you know, it just didn't have as strong a case on Taleb as it had on some of the others, but the answer to that is we don't know.
Let me just ask, Kyle, what happened to this fundraising event Congressman Mike Pompeo raised concerns about?
Well, the good news is the mosque made the decision to actually cancel the fundraiser following Representative Pompeo's press release. Now, they attempted to paint this in a light that somehow because people had been become aware that they were bringing in a Hamas financier to help them fundraise, that this had somehow led to incitement against them, and therefore out of security reasons they were going to cancel the event. But of course the reality is because Representative Pompeo shined the light on their behavior and what they were doing, and the bad press, I think, scared them away, as it should.
Let me ask you about another of these organizations that's very, very closely linked to Hamas, this designated terrorist group, namely the Council on American Islamic Relations. Kyle, one of the other revelations in that Holy Land Foundation trial involved the ties between the two. Talk a little bit about that and the role CARE is playing these days as an arbiter of what the government can know and say and do about threats emanating from, well, friends of theirs inside the Muslim community.
Well, it's actually an interesting segue because CARE Cleveland has actually invited Manzar Taleb to help fundraise for them in the past. So this little Hamas finance network continues merrily on its way despite the Holy Land prosecutions. But the Council on American Islamic Relations is a very troublesome organization. We know that they are an organization of the Palestine Committee of the Muslim Brotherhood. We know the Palestine Committee was established for the sole purpose of supporting Hamas in the United States. These are facts that were proven at federal trial. These are not suppositions on our part. But despite this, CARE merely continues on their way, acting as the arbiter for what is appropriate and how the Islamic community in America ought to be treated. And we saw this most recently with their response to presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz's comments following Brussels. Ted Cruz said that U.S. law enforcement should be empowered to patrol and secure Muslim communities. And CARE had found this absolutely outrageous and took to the press to condemn it. And of course, the reality in America is that law enforcement is empowered to patrol and secure every community in this country.
Well, for the moment, they, of course, are supposed to be doing that. But I think your point is that they're being actively discouraged from doing so by organizations like CARE, the Islamic Society of North America, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, and other Muslim Brotherhood-tied organizations, right?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, these organizations tell law enforcement that they must go through them in order to deal with the Muslim community. And, of course, it's not appropriate anywhere. You know, the law enforcement in this country should have a direct relationship with every community. And the community members there should have they should feel comfortable, and they have a right to speak to law enforcement when they have concerns. They don't need to go through some organization in order to do that.
Let me ask you about one other aspect of all of this, Kyle Scheidler, the director of the Center for Security Policy's Threat Information Office. Dahlia Mogahed recently was featured in a puff piece by National Public Radio about an effort to prevent radicalization within the Muslim community by encouraging young people to follow the example of Muhammad. Give us a sanity check on that approach and whether it's, in fact, likely to lead to more radicalization rather than less.
Well, this is one of those curious things that they get away with because they know that very few people in the press are ever going to check them on it. But Dahlia Mogahed spoke to National Public Radio about this effort to use Muhammad's example to discourage extremism. And the example that they gave was encouraging folks to follow Muhammad's example at the city of Medina, where he interacted for the first time with the Jewish community. And what they failed to point out is that that encounter essentially ends with the annihilation of the Jews of Medina. To this very day, at CARE rallies, etc., we still see chants, for instance, like Kaibar, Kaibar, O Jews, Army of Muhammad will return, and Kaibar referring to a battle where Muhammad exterminated the Jews of Kaibar. So, you know, they are following the example of Muhammad, and they are teaching the example of Muhammad at Medina, just not the way NPR implied.
Kyle, there's so much more to talk about this, and I look forward to having you back to do so in a near future. I hope the rest of you will give us a chance to talk to you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.